But head coach Tony Sanchez,
no matter what the situation, no matter what the score at the time, play each and every single down.
And Mike Pritchard.
This is a new era. This is an exciting era, too, for UNLV football.
Yours truly, Russ Langer, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. He's going to run. Left side. Got some room.
I don't care if you're playing five snaps, you're playing 50 snaps.
Toward the pylon, and he is.
Every snap that you play is pivotal in our success.
In for a Rebel touchdown. These young guys are stepping up and saying, yes, this is it. I believe in the system. We're buying it. The fumble is at the goal line. Picked up by the Rebels. Touchdown, UNLV.
It's a really impressive group when it comes to the way they've accepted the coaching and accepted the direction that we're going.
It's the Tony Sanchez Show on the Rebel IMG Sports Network, presented by Findlay Toyota. We'll do anything to sell you a car. Over the next hour, hear from your coach about all the latest in UNLV football. To join the show, text BAR, then your question for Coach Sanchez to 71855. The Tony Sanchez Show is also brought to you by Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road, Country Financial. See the Country Financial representative near you or visit countryfinancial.com. And by NV Energy. NV Energy is proud to sponsor the Governor's Series because we're fans too. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Rebels, Russ Langer.
And good evening. Welcome in to week one of the Tony Sanchez radio show here live at Born and Raised. Mitch Moss filling in for Russ Langer tonight, along with the color analyst for UNLV football, that is Mike Pritchard, and the coach himself, Tony Sanchez, here live at Born and Raised. Again, it is the official home of the Rebels on the road. Busy day for the coach as he joins us here until 7 o'clock tonight. Good to see you again. How are you?
Good. It was just a couple hours ago we were hanging out, right?
Yeah, we had lunch together.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's good. It's been a long day, but what you got to do. You got to roll up your sleeve and go to work in this program.
There's never a downtime, really, for a college coach. So your day was pretty much full. Because we talked to you today on the station here in Las Vegas until about 1:30 or so, give or take. At that point, your day was already a full day, right? But then from then until now, you've had a nonstop, what is that, five hours or so?
Nonstop. You know, I mean, you started meetings at 6:50. Well, we had offense and defensive meetings at 6:30. 6:50 went into special teams meetings and practice at 8:20 and got done with that and had enough time to shower up and get over to the kickoff luncheon today and then went right from that to hang out with you guys and went back and did a staff meeting and then I went out and, you know, did a donor call and then did another radio show and here we are.
Yeah, but you have the energy for it though, Coach. What are you talking about? I mean, you got 12 more hours in you right now, don't you?
That's why I chew Big League Chew.
Is that what it is?
Okay. Keeps me going.
Can you bottle up your energy and can I buy that somehow?
Yeah.
Because I can
figure
that
out, yeah.
Because again,
it's like Austin Powers, right?
Right, exactly. Right. We talked about that like last year, just the way that how energetic you always are. And I think this goes for coaches in general. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but you probably don't average that many hours of sleep per night. What's the average work day? 10, 12, 15 hours?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, some of those crazier days, you're sitting there around 15, you know. Normal day, you're probably looking at 12, you know. And it doesn't really slow down in the off season because then you run around, you're recruiting and such. And so, yeah, I mean, it's 5-6 hours, you know. It's funny, though. The other night, you know, we had one day off, and I slept for 9 hours. I was more tired after doing that than I was after a five-hour, you know, nap. So yeah. It's you just go, go, go.
Have you noticed that your energy rubbing off, like, not only your staff, but certainly the players as well?
You do.
You feel that?
I do. And, you know, as a player, you know, you kind of reflect your head coach. I look at the guys that, you know, that I played for and such, and, you know, the team kind of takes that attitude and that mantra. And, you know, the whole thing, if you're talking about energy and moving and let's do everything with a fast pace, and you can't be sluggish behind all that talk, you know. So I think the guys know we're out there working, and it's good. I mean, they have an energy to them.
All right, so it's game week. You're going to kick off about 49 hours from right now at Sam Boyd Stadium against Jackson State. We'll get into that game coming up a little bit later on. But with now year two of camp pretty much in the books at this point, did you change in year two for yourself, did you change anything with your philosophy in year two of the camp? Maybe the way that you sent across a message to players, maybe the way that you talked to individual players, or was it just consistency across the board?
You know, that's a great question. Some of it was consistency, some of the planning and the way we go about doing things and our preparation. But, yeah, the conversation changes, and I think that's one of the most pivotal things to being successful is, you know, that message can get stale, right? And last year we obviously had a different approach to the season. It was about, hey, we've got to learn to compete. We've got to learn to do things the right way. Now I feel like we have competed. Now we got to win. You know, I mean, it's got to change a little bit. It's like, okay, all the offseason, all the things that we've done, it's now got to translate. All that hooting and hollering and all that stuff you saw on video and everything. everyone gets excited about it. It don't mean anything if you don't go play like that, you know. So, again, that conversation is like, all right, we've shown people we can compete. The town's excited about it. Now, are you tough enough mentally, physically, and spiritually to go out and execute at a high level and go out and walk away with wins? Because, you know, that's kind of what we struggled with a little bit last year. So going into camp, it really was finish, finish, finish. Everything was about finish, because that's what we didn't do last year, is we didn't finish. We competed, but we didn't finish games. So that was the biggest thing, is, you know, developing a group of guys that have the toughness and fortitude to finish.
And physically, it feels like the team now has made that leap this year, because that was basically priority number one, correct me if I'm wrong on that, but to get the team a lot bigger, and that is mission accomplished.
It is. You know, last year, again, man, I loved our team. They played their guts out for us. We were just a little bit undersized at times, you know. And so now with, you know, with recruiting and what Coach Belton does in the weight room, teaching our guys to eat better, doing the right things, you know, some of those guys were freshmen just getting older. We're a much bigger team. You know, we go from averaging 275 across the board to averaging over 300 across the board. And that's a big deal. You know, we have more depth doing it, too. So college football is a fast-paced collision sport, and it takes a toll on you. And so if you don't have some of those physical traits, it's hard to win football games.
You brought up some of the games that you competed in. You let in late, but you couldn't finish the job. You could bring up Northern Illinois. It was 17-3 early, obviously, in game one. Couldn't finish the job in week one last year, and a lot of other games later on as well where you had the lead late. Do you think right now, if you're given the exact same situations this year with this team, like if you could have this team last year, right, you're going to probably be a bowl team, right? You're going to finish off a majority of those games.
You know, we believe that. You know, I mean, obviously, that's history. That's set in stone. So I would never go back and be so presumptuous as to say, well, we should have won that game if we, you know, with this team. But when I look back, and you're right, you know, you look at some of those games and go like, you know, with a little bit, you know, more physical team, with a team that has more consistency in the quarterback spot, a team that's able to play late into the fourth quarter with more depth like we have right now, you're going to win some of those games. I mean, we were scrapping last year, and we were so close so many times. So we really believe that, you know, now we've got a group of guys that, you know, we don't need to make excuses with anymore. Not that we did last year. I mean, I think we were pretty good about being honest and going out and competing. But we feel like we have a group of guys that can go win games, you know. So part of it's going to be just getting over the hump. You know, when you're in a program, hasn't won an opening game since 2009, a program that you win three games and people get excited, that tells you something, right? You know, you're in a program like that, it's like, guys, you know, you got to change that mindset. You got to stop wanting to win. You have to expect to win. And you don't do that and develop that unless you actually go out and do win. So this is a real important game for us.
Yeah, Coach, everybody's optimistic at the beginning of the year. Everybody's 0-0. But certainly there's signs, or coaches and staffs, they look for signs that training camp was a success. Now, I want to ask you this question. So when you went through the installation process, was it easier this time around because the guys were picking up on it, or did you feel like you still had some fine-tuning to do there?
No, I felt really good about it. I mean, you know, we had a really, really good, productive spring ball, and we brought in those junior college guys, I believe 8 of them, right, and they made a huge impact. So getting them in, you know, getting Johnny Stanton in, getting those guys in and getting them the reps so that, you know, that recruiting class that does show up, it's not every one of them that hasn't done it before, you know. And then when the freshmen came in, you know, it was a smaller group of guys that we had to get game ready right away. You know, there's some freshmen that are going to play. There are some that are going to redshirt. But you know what? It was a really good spring, and it really led into a good fall camp. And we got everything installed, and, I mean, we did it in a timely manner. And our guys showed a lot of really good focus during camp. You know, camp's great. I think coaches always love camp because it's so safe. You know, I mean, yeah. They don't have school. You got sequestered in a hotel, and, you know, you're in control the whole day. But now, you know, now the girlfriends are back involved, and, you know, and classes are back involved. A lot more on their plate, so you're just talking about making quality decisions, so all that stuff you did ends up translating on the field.
Those pesky girlfriends, huh?
I'm not talking bad about girlfriends.
They're distractions, Mitch.
Well, what did you learn about yourself in year one at this level?
You know what? It's one of those deals. I knew coming into the job that you have to believe in what you're doing. You can't fake it. Everyone can see a guy who's faking it, right? You have to believe in what you're doing. You have to set a plan in place. You have to be flexible enough to adjust when things need to be adjusted to within that plan. But you really got to stick to it. You know, I mean, you just don't know. I mean, it takes years and years of recruiting at a high level, strength and conditioning, doing that at a high level, you know, taking some of those natural stressors off our players' plate. You know, they're not worried about academics anymore. We're doing a good job there. You know, we came in with one guy who's going to be out a couple of games, and last year we had, I don't know, who knows, it seemed like half the roster, you know. So there's some things that we've gotten better at, and I know that if we continue to stay the course, continue to stay down this path, little bit of flexibility, but not too much flexibility, and hold those guys accountable, we're going to have success. But you can't waver, and you can't go, oh, my goodness, we only won three games. We've got to change the whole thing. You know what? We got better. So you have to understand that. The kids have got to understand that. The messaging has got to be, you know, firm. It's got to be consistent. And you move on, and you win games.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. It's credibility, because as 100%. Soon as you establish that credibility, all of a sudden everybody's buying into you.
Absolutely. You know, and here's the deal. You know, these guys, you got to motivate them. One of the biggest ways you motivate them is by them believing in you. But yeah, it's not just me. It's the entire staff. Them understanding that, you know, we know our X's and O's. We're going to put them in a good quality situation. Them understanding that Coach Belt and the strength staff, they know what they're doing when it comes to nutrition and diet and hydration and strength and conditioning. So even if it's uncomfortable, they're gonna trust those guys and do what they ask them to do. You know, we talk to them about, hey, don't take advantage. Make sure you walk out of here with a degree. You know, we're going to hold you accountable. Those guys understanding that we mean business by that, and showing up to class and being in the study hall on time and doing those things. So, you know, you got to talk it, but then you got to hold them accountable, and then they'll follow suit. They really will. And I think men at any age want to be led, but they'll only be led by genuine leaders, you know. Yeah. And I think we have a room full of them at UNLV.
Well said. It's a Tony Sanchez radio show, live at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. If you're in Las Vegas, come and join us here tonight at Warm Springs and Cimarron, the location in Las Vegas. We are on the air until 7 o'clock. Up next, we're going to get into the quarterbacks. Johnny Stanton, of course, he's going to start the opener against Jackson State. Kurt Pelendick will be the backup. What was the biggest factor in the decision? That is coming up next.
Rebel fans, send your questions to Coach Sanchez via text. Text BAR, then your question to 71855. Now, back to Born and Raised and your host, Russ Langer.
Mitch Moss filling in for Russ Langer along with Mike Pritchard and the coach, Tony Sanchez, here at Born and Raised. Love the sliders here, the award-winning sliders on the menu. So many different kinds of sliders to order from. I'm always a little confused, actually, at the menu because I don't know. When I look at the list of sliders here,
yeah,
I go, okay, I've had those before, but I haven't had those, but those are so good. Let me go with that kind. I love the sliders that they have on hand here, Born and Raised.
Oh, they're unbelievable. You know, hey, the Cubano, you got to love that.
Yes, you do.
Know
what I mean?
Come on now, that's great. You know, nice cold beer, you got a Cubano, and I only do that in the offseason.
Of course you do. Right, yeah. Focus, coach. Come on. Let's go. All right. So take us through the ultimate decision here with the quarterbacks, Johnny Stanton, Kurt Pelendick, and, of course, Stanton's going to get the start against Jackson State coming up two nights from now. What was the ultimate factor in you making that decision?
You know, honestly, we sat down and had a lot of conversations with staff about it. You know, we're looking at a lot of different factors. Obviously, what you see on the field, we're charting percentages on completions, you know, accuracy, balls in danger, things like that. And, you know, and then obviously your ability to run the offense and get in and out of checks. And we just felt like Johnny gave us our best opportunity. He's got incredible arm strength, and his ability to run the ball, his big physical size, really creates problems in a small field. So red zone situations, short yardage situations. You know, a lot of times you run power and things like that, and you're outnumbered. Well, now they got to account for the quarterback, because the quarterback is a valid ball carrier, you know. So those kind of things, you know, really, to me, separated them a little bit. But Kurt did a great job. I mean, it wasn't one of those deals where, you know, one horse ran away from the other. And I think what they did that's kind of exciting is that they pushed each other. I mean, those two horses running next to each other started running faster and faster. So I think it really helped Kurt. He developed some great skill sets. We're totally confident if he has to get in the game. And then Johnny, I think that he's got a bright future. I mean, if he just settles down, the biggest thing going into this game, he doesn't have to go in with the expectation of, I've got to put the team on my back. He's just got to go out, run the offense, management, get the ball to those athletic receivers, hand the ball to those athletic backs, and just get us in good situations.
Now, with that said, can you tell us a little bit more about Johnny Stanton? I mean, what kind of guy is he? Is he an alpha? Is he a guy who's going to get on the field, take over the huddle, and have total command of what he's doing? Is he one of those quiet guys that leads by example?
You know what's funny is that, and it's one of those deals that I guess happens in a competition, is, you know, he's been kind of that guy who's a little more quiet than I'd like a quarterback to be. I think the quarterback's got to be a little different dude, you know what I mean? He's got to have a little more swagger than everybody else, and you just got to have that confidence. I mean, you got to be a guy that makes a bad throw and you don't believe it was. I mean, you forget about it and you move on. And he was a little bit quieter throughout camp, and Kurt was a little bit too, you know, but I think because they were so focused on beating one another out, well, this last week, now that we've made the decision, all of a sudden he's speaking up, he's standing up in front of the team, and you look and go like, wow, you know, sometimes that competition can kind of, you can get lost in it, you know what I'm saying, and you forget about those intangibles that make a great quarterback. So we've seen that, you know, at spurts. We saw it more in spring. At camp, it got a little bit better, but we saw this week he's just done a great job of stepping up and letting everybody know that, hey, I'm the guy in charge.
So Pritch played, obviously, football at the highest level, right? Won a national title back in 1991. I think that he likes to have fun with devaluing the importance of the quarterback position once in a while, right? Because you caught the receivers, right? You think receivers make the quarterback rather than the other way around.
This is how I explain it before he goes on and on and on here.
Okay.
I say that because everybody thinks, okay, the quarterback, you have to have a quarterback, which you do. I get it. But the quarterback, to me, is the most dependent position on the field because you have to be on the same page with the center, protection schemes, then your receivers, and then your running backs and everything. So in order for the quarterback to be successful and get all the glory, it means the team, and everybody was on the same page for that entire play.
That's what makes football so different than every other sport. I mean, I played wide out, and you're sitting there, and you're running great routes, and, you make the right read, boom, you're wide open, and quarterback's on his back, he's sacked, or he got pressured out, and he's flushed out. Okay, great. You know, I'm a running back, and you're one of the best guys, and, you just can't hold up front. You know, I mean, there's so many things that everyone depends on each other so much, and I know what he's saying about that quarterback spot. You know, it's kind of an interesting deal, and I hope, Johnny ends up being one of those guys, but you don't know until you get into the heat of battle. You don't know until you get into games, but I don't care if it's high school, college, or the NFL, there's a very small percentage of guys that are just that guy, that difference maker. Most of them are doing a great job of just managing the offense, not putting the team in bad situations, not turning the ball over, and distributing the ball to their great athletes. You know, there's very few quarterbacks that have the ability to go in and just take a game over. And those guys, I mean, you can name them on, one or two hands. I mean, they're the Mannings, they're the Elways, they're the Montanas, they're just so small, such a small fraternity of guys that really might be the difference makers.
Are you okay with a quarterback that would be a game manager? Because it sounds to me like with the big arm, obviously, you're going to want to open it up with him and let it fly a couple of times at least.
Absolutely. We 100% do, too. And, here's the deal. You don't ever want to get in the way of your player's ability to be great and to have that ultimate success and to be those dudes. So you got to put them in situations. You got to figure out who they are. Who are they? Can they make those tough decisions? Will they stand in the pocket, take one on the chin, and deliver the ball? Do they have the ability to go up and see cover zero and make the right check and take a shot in an appropriate situation, a first down, a second and medium, a down you can recover from, things like that, And until you actually get out there, you can practice it over and over and over, but, hey, we're all human beings, and until you're in that whole heat of the moment, you just don't know. So I'm excited to see what he does, and I hope he is that one percenter.
Do you believe in scripting plays?
I do, and we do. We script plays, but you got to be flexible enough to come off, And it's kind of interesting. So when I was an offensive coordinator, which I was most of my career, I always scripted 14 plays, And sometimes those things would fall into line, and boom, boom, boom. You might come off on a third down or a short yardage situation, but, the way I always did it was, you want to see different formations, different sets, see how they're reacting, and Coach Cotton does some of the same stuff. But you also have to realize when to get off the script. If you see something right away and you can attack something, get off it. Call. Don't be afraid to call the same play twice. Don't be afraid to go out of that box right away and be in attack mode. So I believe in scripting, but I also believe that sometimes every game presents an opportunity to kind of shoot from the hip. It's never just truly shooting from the hip because you've studied it, you've game planned it. They're intelligent, calculated decisions, But sometimes you get a great feel for them. Ron Lynn's a great friend of mine, and he was the original DC at Stanford with Harbaugh and those guys, and he's the one who taught me that. He said, I've been a DC, been in the NFL for 30 years and coordinator all over the place, and he always said that, hey, every game there's a time where you just got to put the script away and just call it because you feel it.
Makes sense. Now, Pritch, you love the philosophy of scripting plays.
Yes.
You did it in Seattle with Mike Holmgren.
Holmgren also did it in Denver with Mike Shanahan as well.
Explain to everybody listening here why, as a receiver, why you think it's great.
Because, you get the list of plays the night before the game. And so, everybody's talking about, you got curfew and everything, but you're looking at your plays. And so for the first part of the game, if you know exactly what you're doing and what your responsibilities are, you should settle down quicker. You still should get into the flow quicker of the game. So, I love scripted plays because I knew exactly, especially when they're called to me.
Yeah,
I mean, come on, I'm going to light up there. And so,
if you were that guy in the room, though, didn't see your number very often, it'd be a depressing night, right?
Well, it wouldn't be depressing. I'd go up to the coach and be like, what's up with the person?
Well, not you. You never had to worry about it. I'm talking about the other guys.
Well, sure. No, the other guys even, too. I mean, it just really helps you as a player
I agree.
Get into the flow of the game so much quicker.
Absolutely. I mean, even us as coaches, you know, we get our offensive scripts the night before, and you're sitting in the hotel room, and you're going through them, and you're thinking, okay, we do this. How are they going to counterpunch? How are they going to line up? What will be our adjustment? I mean, that's what's great about football. I mean, you know, it's one of the only sports where the coaches, during game day, is involved in every single snap. You know, I mean, again, it doesn't make our sport better than any other sport. It's just very unique in that you really impact every single snap because there's so many different things, so many different situations, and you're calling it from the sideline.
If you are scripting plays and you accidentally, I guess in quotes, leave out a player from getting one of those first 14 or 15 plays, has anybody ever said anything to you?
Well, no, because the reason you would get off is, like, for example, you might get to, I mean, and we script a variety of ways. You're going to script, like, your first 15, right? But then you're also going to script your third mediums, third and short, third and long. So there's a variety of different scripts, right? And when you come off it, normally you're going to another scripted play within a situation, you know? So, you know, they understand why. It's like, okay, that third play was supposed to be a shot play, right? Well, we're in third and one, you know, let's run the ball and, you know, let's run power and get the first down. So they kind of know what goes on there. And, you know, they got to – and if they don't, then they can go play for another team.
I like it.
It's the Tony Sanchez Radio Show live at Born and Raised. Mitch Moss along with Mike Pritchard and the coach. Game one coming up two nights from now, Thursday night, Sam Boyd Stadium against Jackson State. Up next, we know about the skilled position players, Devontae Boyd, Lexington Thomas, and others. Which players that are not the household names should the fans need to know going into this season? We'll talk to Coach about that coming up next.
Live from Born and Raised, it's the Tony Sanchez Show on the Rebel IMG Sports Network. Alongside the coach, here's the voice of the Rebels, Russ Langer.
And for tonight, Mitch Moss filling in for the very busy Russ Langer, along with Mike Pritchard and the coach, back here at Born and Raised with the new Contour Sports app from Cox. You can watch a game live and track multiple games at once, all right there on your TV. The sports app is part of the new Contour from Cox. Hurry to a Cox Solution store or visit cox.com/contour to learn more.
Yeah, you guys were talking about those sliders before. You know, you're going to pair them up with some fries maybe. I mean, think outside the box, man. Get some sweet potato tots.
How awesome are those?
Oh, they're crazy. I mean, you can get fries anywhere.
Oh, I'm telling you. Well, and then you got the macaroni bites in there, too. I mean, I'm telling you, you can do some damage in a place like this.
Yes, you can, absolutely. Yeah. I get those tots every single time. I'm like, where can I buy these? Other than here, like, can I make these? I mean, I've never seen them before.
Yeah, I don't know if you can buy them. Yeah. I mean, I just come to Born and Raised and get them.
Just buy them here.
Yeah, just get them here.
Right, exactly.
That's about it. Okay, so going to the break, we know what the skill position players in the team, obviously. Devontae Boyd, excellent wide receiver. In the backfield, you know about the guys that are going to be getting the ball. There was an injury to Kendall Keys. Yep. Unfortunately, he's going to be out for the year. Tell us about some of the players that will step in. And also tell us about some of the, I guess, non-skilled players, maybe in the trenches, maybe a defensive back or a linebacker that the fans of the team may not know right now, but they need to know.
Yeah, you know, you go right to the wide receiver position, and, you know, Brandon Presley really did a great job at the end of the year coming on and caught a touchdown against Wyoming, but he's had a tremendous offseason. I mean, he can flat-out fly. He'll be our punt returner. I mean, he's going to have a great year this year. And then the one big guy that just turned everybody's heads is Darren Woods, and we redshirted him last year. He's a big, you know, 6'1.5", 6'2", 220-pound wide receiver, runs a 4.5, and, I mean, he's a heck of a player. He's gonna be a special guy for us for a long, long time. And then you go into the backfield, and I tell you what, I mean, we know about Campbell, you know, and you know about Lexington, but Charles Williams is something absolutely special. Now, you know, I don't want to toot his horn too much because he's a freshman, right? But this kid ran a 10.5, 900 meters.
Wow.
Everybody knows track. That's flying.
Yes, it is.
He's the only guy in the state of California to go to the finals on the 100 and 200.
Okay.
Comes in at about 190 pounds, physically ready to go. And every freshman hits the wall. So you get into camp. There's a, you know, 7 days in, 10 days in, you hit the wall and their legs are done. And man, he never hit the wall. I mean, the kid, it just came in so prepared. You don't expect freshmen to come in with that type of mental preparedness and physical preparedness. He really was. I mean, superior to some of our older guys. So it was amazing watching him. So those three guys are offensively, I think, are going to just do a tremendous job, you know. And then, you know, defensively, you saw him last year, but Darius Mouton had a phenomenal offseason. He's going to be a great corner for us right there. And then, you know, Lakeith Walls, the guy, the fifth-year senior transfer out of Illinois, linebacker, We have him. It depends on where we're in the Oki package, our nickel package. You know, he plays DN. He plays the Mike. He plays the Sam. He comes off the edge on special teams. He's a big, long, rangy athlete that's going to do a lot of great things for us. So exciting about those guys. And then and you talk about the trenches, right? So you go inside there, and Justin Polu's a kid that we redshirted last year. You know, he's a local kid, Silverado High School. He comes in, he's 6'5", he's 325 pounds, he's powerful. You know, he's going to be a great player. And then the young guy out of Bishop Gorman High School, Jaron Caldwell, he just absolutely turned everybody's heads in camps. He gets the second series, he's going to be in there, he's going to be a mainstay for a long time. And then you look over at the defensive side of the ball, and you know, some of those big guys. Solanoa Wiley last year, good player. People know who he is, but he started at 265 pounds. Now he's 295. He's got the same quick twitch. His body is now ready to compete at a legitimate Division I level, and he's going to be incredible. And then Jeremiah Valoga. I know we've talked about him, but people haven't really seen him. You know, he was a kid who, you know, unfortunately was out of the university academically last spring. We got him back into the fold in the summertime, you know, got him right, and, you know, he had an okay year getting going with us, but he's done good academically, done a great job in the waiver. He has a chance to be a first-team all-conference player. I mean, he literally can be a game-changer. All these scouts coming in, every single one of them comes up and wants to talk about Jeremiah Valoga. So he's that type of player, and we need guys like that. We need guys who can, you know, we don't always need to blitz the rush to pass. I mean, he's a guy who can go in and really change things up.
You write those names down, Pritch. You're going to have to call them quite a few times this year during the games.
Yeah, I'm listening to Coach intently because, I mean, some of these names you just don't want to screw up and mess up. But, no, I'm happy that he's so excited about these players because some of these guys are true freshmen.
Yeah.
I mean, Lex and X last year were freshman running backs. They did a nice job for you. Now you're talking about another freshman running back.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've coached some pretty good running backs in my time. And I tell you what, a guy like that, we got to steal.
Wow.
You know, he's special.
You hear that, Rebel fans? Be excited about that because Coach has coached some exciting players before. So, I'm excited to see Mr. Williams get out there and run the rock a little bit.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
How do you game plan with a guy like that, Ted? I know he was listed at 175. You mentioned he's about 190 right now. Hasn't lost his legs yet. Ran a 10.5, which is nuts.
Oh, man.
Okay, right? You ran track, right? What'd you run? Weren't you like a 13 or 14 or something?
No, I actually did lower than that, but that's not. It's not about me. It's not about me. No, that's remarkable.
In
though,
my face
five.
With that one.
No, it's not about me.
I forgot what you ran, but you were blazing fast as well. But so, when you have a guy that small, do you use him like other small players that we have seen? Like a Darren Sproles comes to mind. Is that fair, or is that just me kind of pigeonholing him?
Well, he's a lot bigger than that. Yeah, I mean, he's sitting there, and he's sitting there at about 5'10", 5'10 and a half, 190 pounds. He's actually a decent-sized back.
Yeah.
You know, Lexington's more of the smaller guy. He's more of
the smaller
guy.
Sure, he's smaller, too.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
You know, and the great thing about it, though, is that with Lex, with Campbell, with William, with David Green, with those four guys, you're confident giving any one of the ball at any given time. So the thing is, Lex is a guy who's proven himself. He's going to be a great player for us, right? It's his rock. He gets the rock first, you know. And then after that, you know, you're going to see a little bit of split between Williams and Campbell, but they're both capable of guy. Campbell's a big 220-pound guy, you know. Williams is a changeup kind of in between him and Lex. Lexington's a smaller guy, but the amazing thing is Lex and Williams are such good inside-the-tackle runners. I mean, they just have a knack for it. They're not just stretch-outside guys. So, you know, we really found that out about Lexington during the spring. And having three guys and then David Green as a team captain, it's a big luxury to have that.
No doubt. It feels like in today's football, I mean, certainly less is more for the running backs, right? I'm from Wisconsin, so I grew up. I was going to school there when Ron Dayne was there. So it was 45, 50 carries a game, and he could take it because the guy was, you know, 275 pounds, but it was abnormal because a guy is not supposed to get the rock that many times. It feels like if you split it up and one guy gets it 17 times, another guy 12, another guy 9, another guy 6, that feels like the way football has turned, and I think rightfully so.
Absolutely, because, you know, again, like, and you said earlier, you take some of those skill sets and you use them situationally, like who's your guy who catches the ball out of the backfield? You know, who's your best screen runner? You know, who's your best power runner? You know, who are your inside the tackle guys? And, you know, you can't be so obvious that everyone else knows that too, but, I mean, you can use these different skill sets. And let's face it, you know, the kids, guys now, they're bigger, they're stronger. It's a collision sport. You know, there's going to be, you know, unfortunate injuries. There's going to be the attrition of the season. So when you have guys and you can split it up, they're going to last longer. It's like buying tires for a car, right? The more you roll on them, the more they wear. You know, the less you roll on them, the less they wear. So we got more than one tire to roll on.
Good point. Very good point. Yeah. It's the Tony Sanchez Coaches Show. live from Born and Raised here. Mitch Moss along with Mike Pritchard. Up next, we're going to get into the very first opponent of the 2016 season. That is Jackson State. Actually, UNLV has played Jackson State before. It's been a long time. They played them back in the 70s. What do we know about the team as of right now? What should we watch for on Thursday night? We'll ask the coach coming up next.
As via text. Text BAR. Then your question to 71855. Now back to Born and Raised and your host, Russ Langer.
Finley Toyota knows what it takes to win. In fact, Finley Toyota has won every Toyota award. Come in and see the difference. Finley Toyota is the largest Toyota dealer in Nevada and a member of Toyota's President's Cabinet for the third consecutive year. Mitch Moss in for Russ Langer along with Mike Pritchard and the head coach of UNLV football, Tony Sanchez.
Yeah, filling up in here in Born and Raised. They got the happy hour going on right now, and we're diving into some sliders, some fries, and some wings. I forgot about the wings.
I put a slider down during the break.
Yeah, they're really good, but the wings, too, are spectacular.
Cubano?
You know what? I asked Drew Jennison, our assistant recruiting coordinator, just to give me some sliders. So I think he went with just a sirloin burger with, looks like, I don't know, some onions on there.
Maybe a little cheddar on there as well.
Cheddar. Yeah,
that
looks
pretty good. You can't go wrong. Those wings, my goodness, they look absolutely fantastic. So we're back here at Born and Raised. You take on Jackson State in T-minus 48 hours and, 25 minutes, give or take. The legendary Sonic Boom is going to be in town tomorrow, the band. Obviously, this school is known for the band. Obviously, Walter Payton went there as well. But there's a lot of tradition with this school.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's, their conference, they're known for their bands. I mean, what is it, every Thanksgiving weekend? You got Southern against Grambling. Yep. And you watch that halftime show, it's awesome. So
Battle of the Bands.
Battle of the Bands, absolutely, So everything I hear about the Sonic Boom, I hear they're pretty spectacular to watch. I guess they're going to be going out somewhere in the community on tomorrow, actually, right?
Okay, yeah,
North Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So it'll be good. Heck, come out for two reasons, right? Come watch a great football game, come watch Sonic Boom along with UNLV band.
There you go, absolutely. Now, this is the second trip all time for Jackson State out to Sam Boyd Stadium playing UNLV. They played 41 years earlier back in 1975. UNLV 1-0 lifetime against Jackson State. So you better make that 2-0, Coach.
You got it.
What do you know about Jackson State at this minute?
Well, the crazy thing is a lot of it's an unknown, right? I mean, Coach Hughes comes over and from Mississippi State and, done a great job over there. And so we're watching fragmented film. We're watching their film from last year for personnel reasons. We have a little bit of their spring game film that we've watched. And then we're watching a lot of other offenses and defenses from places their coordinators coached at. So the crazy thing going into this game is trying to, kind of guess what are they going to be doing based on the places they've been and what their coordinators have done in the past, but then matching it with the personnel that they're walking into, because a lot of times you walk into a place, maybe it doesn't necessarily have the personnel that you'd like to use, so we're matching those things up. So when you plan for a team like this, it's kind of a twofold deal. What are the things that you're expecting them to do, and then what are the unexpected things that you just got to prepare for? You always prepare for the option. You're going to prepare for some spread, some tempo stuff. So we really threw a lot of variety at each other during fall camp so that we're able to adjust, and that's what we're planning to do. Go in with a base game plan, and then at some point early first quarter, go ahead and be able to make an adjustment and move on.
Yeah, you brought up a great point I want to get back to, but in terms of personnel, can you get a true evaluation? Not a true evaluation, but any evaluation of the fact that, okay, they do have a lot of starters, 9 starters offensively, 9 starters defensively from a year ago. But are they limited? What can they do? What their capabilities might be?
Well, and that's what you're watching last year's film for. You're looking at skill sets.
Yeah.
You're looking at quick twitch. What are those guys doing? What are the things you got to worry about? And you know what? They've got some great personnel. I mean, you look at them, and they are a big team. They've got some team speed, and I'm sure, like any other program, when you come in their first year, you're immediately setting a culture and a tone and a standard. So they're going to come off. They're going to come off the bus ready to roll. I mean, they're going to. We told our guys get ready. They're going to come fired up, and they're going to hit you in the mouth. And the biggest thing is in game one, just good things are going to happen and bad things are going to happen. You got to be able to just settle in, be a little even keeled about it. If something bad happens, just regroup, move on. It's not the end of the world. If you go out there and you score a couple early touchdowns, same thing. Don't worry about it. Just, refocus, settle in. Don't get complacent. So I think, week one, managing the emotions is a big thing because these guys are going to be fired up and will be fired up. And, a lot of emotions out there.
Coach, most fans, they pay attention to game planning and strategy and everything, and they kind of try to see what the Rebels are going to do. But how important are adjustments? Because during the course of a 60-minute ball game, you come into a game with a strategy and a game plan, but sometimes you can throw that out the window and all of a sudden it's based on adjustments throughout.
Absolutely. I mean, if it was all based on just going in your original plan versus their original plan, the guy with the best players always wins, right? Well, that's just not the reality of football, right? So, I mean, you got to go in and it's like, all right, who's using their guy's skill sets better and who's adjusting faster and who's, you know, who's trying to stay one step ahead mentally, you know, and whose kids are playing with more passion and more energy. There's so many things you got to think about, but that the game is all about adjustments. I mean, anybody who's been involved in this game knows that, hey, you go out there with your plan. At some point, unless you just are executing at a high level, got a lot of talented guys, sometimes your plan does work, but what happens when your plan gets blown apart? Do you have the ability to you know, come to balance, to refocus and regain plan and go in the middle of it, you know, and I think that's what really separates the great teams.
The great Walter Payton went to Jackson State.
Yep,
do players today know who Sweetness is? We will ask the coach about that coming up. The answer might surprise you. That's next.
The Tony Sanchez Show continues on the Rebel IMG Sports Network. Now back to Born and Raised and the voice of the Rebels, Russ Langer.
Les Olson Company, longtime sponsor of the Rebels, makes copiers and printers the MVP of your office. Les Olson Company, your business empowered. Mitch Moss along with Mike Pritchard and the head coach of UNLV football. That is Tony Sanchez. Okay, so Jackson State again, the opponent coming up Thursday night. You were telling us a story during one of the breaks tonight about Walter Payton Sweetness, one of the best of all time. Do players today know who Sweetness is?
You know what? A couple of them did. Some of them didn't. It's amazing because he's one of the greatest ever to play the game. But, you know, I even noticed that at my last job. You know, you talk to the guys, you bring up somebody, and you see them kind of scratching their head. And, you know, they play all these, you know, video games now and things like that. And, you know, you wonder how much they watch the old history and, you know, of the game. You know, we grew up watching, you know, NFL highlights, and you had all that Big Bang music, opera music going on. We was watching the highlight films, and I don't know how much they watch that stuff anymore. So they need to. We need to start showing them more. But our running back coach showed him a highlight film of Sweetness. And, you know, he used to run with that ball out in front of him in his hand. So he said, okay. He's all, do everything he did except for the way he carried the ball. Put that thing away.
He's the best, but he was the worst at that. So just eliminate that, and you're good to go if you can copy everything else that Walter Payton did. Yeah, you're right, because it's like, when I grew up, did I know who Wilt Chamberlain was and Babe Ruth and Mickey? Of course.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We all collected baseball cards and football cards, and we knew it from that. I mean, it's, you know, when games were on, you all sat around and watched. There wasn't as much going on.
Sure,
you know?
Right.
So,
but you're great, though, at relating to young kids as well. I mean, and we've gotten to know that. Is there anything that you learned from maybe year two of recruiting that you didn't know in year one?
You know what? It's just be raw, be real, be yourself. I mean, kids can see right through it. I mean, you know, the biggest thing I always tell them, number one, is, hey, I guarantee you I've called you and talked to you more than any other head coach. And we always get pretty much yes, because I dive right into recruiting. I mean, I'll sit there till the wee hours of night, and I'll call, and I write letters every single day. And you gotta dive in. Recruiting is the heartbeat of what we do. And then just, you know, have real genuine conversations. And it doesn't even have to be about football. Talk to them about your family. Talk to them about the things you want to do. Talk to them about, you know, vacations or a movie you saw and things like that. Kids just want to be engaged. You know, I mean, that's where a relationship, I mean, even with you guys, right? I mean, you spend time with people, you just engage in a relationship, and then it becomes comfortable. And that's what you're trying to do, create a sense of comfort with these guys. And then they have to believe that you're going to develop them as a player, and their families have got to understand that you're going to develop them as a man, and, you know, you're going to develop them educationally. And a lot of trust involved, but you got to dive in and just be real, be who you are.
Out of the overall, I guess, allotted amount of time for you to recruit, how much of that? What? Give us a percentage of the time that you're actually recruiting.
Oh, man. Are you
recruiting 75% of the time that you're allowed? 50% of the time?
That you're allowed?
Yeah, I mean.
All the time.
You can't recruit every second of the day is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. So when you look at your normal work day, I would easily say that you're going to spend at least 40% at times, and then, you know, and then certain times of the year, it's going to be 75%. Off-season is 75%, you know. Get into spring ball, it might cut down to a 40-50 type deal, but it can never go below that. You know, I mean, we start off every day, you know, we got all of our cards on our desk, and we got the kids we're writing that day, and I mean, that's the first thing I do. I get in the morning, and when they, you know, they head to meetings or whatever, I sit there and I write about 30 letters every single day, and you're tweeting guys and let them know what's going on. And that's one of the things with social media too, is like we're telling our story and letting people see what we're doing and engaging people that way.
Yeah, also, I mean, just the whole years of recruitment too. I mean, you're talking about practicing, who knows who's coming out to practice,
yep.
And game day, who knows who's in the stands. So you're constantly recruiting, even though you're not officially recruiting.
100%. Hey, we're recruiting players. We're recruiting boosters.
Right.
We're recruiting fans to come sit down. We're recruiting everybody.
Yeah.
Well, and you write letters. I wrote some notes tonight. I can't read my own handwriting anymore.
I had to work on that. It's been a while. You know what? I wrote the first letter. And I'm like, I can't read this. I don't know what this kid's going to think. So I had to work on my cursive a little bit.
That's awesome. When were you first allowed to watch game tape of Jackson State?
You as soon as the game was scheduled, as soon as it's over, boom, you watch it right away. But again, you've got their film last year with another staff.
Right, right.
So again, you're watching it and going like, how much validity are you going to put into, you know, those type of things? So, you know, a little bit unknown going in, but it is what it is. We'll be ready to go.
Up next, we'll get into the overall schedule. They open again on a Thursday, a couple of extra days to prepare for UCLA, and they're going to take on sophomore quarterback Josh Rosen. They saw him last year at Sam White Stadium. How good is the sophomore quarterback at UCLA? We'll talk to the coach about that coming up next.
Live from Born and Raised, it's the Tony Sanchez Show on the Rebel IMG Sports Network. Alongside the coach, here's the voice of the Rebels, Russ Langer.
Welcome back. Mitch Moss filling in for Russ Langer tonight along with Mike Pritchard and Tony Sanchez. Okay, so the overall schedule this year, of course, again, the lid lifter to the season is coming up on Thursday, 7 o'clock, Sam Boyd Stadium against Jackson State. A couple of days of extra prep time, I guess, or a couple of days off to get ready for UCLA. You travel back to the Rose Bowl to take on that team this year. You played them at Sam Boyd a year ago. They're really good again this year. Yeah. They have Josh Rosen, who some people would project him as the number one overall pick in two drafts from now. How good was he last year when you watched him in person?
He was pretty darn good. I mean, you know, they've done a great job at recruiting over there. He's got a lot of weapons around him. You know, it looks like they're going to a more pro-style offense this year, which I honestly think will be good for him, you know. He's a big, strong kid, delivers the ball well. He's a very – I mean, I knew him from his high school days. You know, I know I'm a really good friend with his high school coach, and he's just a very cerebral, intelligent kid. So he's not just a guy with gifts. I mean, he is a deep thinker. He understands the game, and he's going to prepare well. So, you know, he's one of those X-factor guys, you know. So, again, you know, we got to worry about week one, but we're excited about those opportunities to go out and play against teams like that, you know, and he's gonna be someone we're going to have to deal with.
No doubt.
Well,
what did you notice with UCLA last year when they played?
Well, he was a freshman, and the Rebels did some things and rallied him a little bit. I mean, you guys got to him there for some pressures, but he was able to, like you said, process that stuff and make some plays out there. So, I mean, just as a freshman, I mean, you could see that the guy is different. But they were different on defense, and I think that was the difference in the game.
Absolutely.
For UNLV, because they had a guy named Miles Jack over there.
Yeah, he wasn't bad.
But, yeah, they were just a little bit different there. But, yeah, I mean, this schedule for Rebel fans, you have to be engaged, like you said, Coach, with the program, because the schedule is everything that the players would want. You sign up for Division I football at UNLV, you look at the schedule, you got to be excited about it.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many great contests out there, great programs coming in, you know, good games on the road. I mean, they talk about UCLA, then the week later you go play, you know, it might not be the most high-profile team, but Central Michigan's a good football team.
Yeah.
Very similar to the Northern Illinois team we played last year. Up and coming, went to a bowl game last year, gave Minnesota all they could handle. So, you know, you look at that and it's a heck of a schedule, like you said. You know, you got Boise on it, and
sure,
Colorado State, and Fresno State, and then you know the big one, right? You got Reno. So I mean, it's a great competitive schedule.
And you finish with the Wolfpack this year, November 26th. That can we just make a deal right now to make that the last game of the year, every single year for infinity?
It's funny because we sat in our Mountain West meetings and they said, you know, everyone agreed that okay, you know, we're going to work on doing that. But you always worry when they say we're going to work on doing that, you know?
Right, right.
So right now it is. So that's a good thing.
But there's some solid rivalries within the Mountain West Conference. Do you think that everybody can sit down at the table and say, okay, it's important for these rivalries? In-state rivalries, out-of-state rivalries, you got to have them scheduled properly.
No doubt. You know, and I think the thing is, sometimes your rivalry isn't in your conference.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, you take Colorado State in Colorado. Well, that's always a week one game, so that changes things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think for the most part, you're right. You know, and I think they did a good job this year trying to create that with the teams that do have that, you know, that true rivalry within the conference.
Your bye week comes in what would be week 10 of the season. Do you like it right there?
You know, if you ask me, you know, if I could just choose, you're going to choose midseason. That's what I would do, you know. But you never know. I mean, if it's one of those deals where we're on a roll and we're hot, that's great. You don't want to stop when you're hot, you know. Injuries play into it. You know, if you get a little banged up, you know, you want that thing to come in. So I don't think anybody would choose to have it week 2 or 3, and I don't think anybody would choose to have it week 9 or 10, 11, you know. But, you know, you're never going to get exactly what you want.
Up next, we want to ask you about motivation, because you hear other coaches outside of this market in Las Vegas talk about the underdog angle, meaning that they're looking at the point spread. Well, we are in Las Vegas, where the point spreads originate. Do you use that as motivation to your players? We will ask the coach that coming up next.
The Tony Sanchez Show continues on the Rebel IMG Sports Network. Now back to Born and Raised and the voice of the Rebels, Russ Langer.
And we're wrapping it up here, week one. Mitch Moss in for Russ Langer along with Mike Pritchard and the head coach Tony Sanchez. You're going to get Russ and Pritch on the call 7 o'clock with the opening kick coming up Thursday night against Jackson State. I wanted to ask you about this because you'll hear on whatever network you're watching coaches outside of this market occasionally reference, hey, we were 17-point underdogs tonight, or we were underdogs by 6.5. They know the point spread. They use it as motivation to the players. Well, we are based here in Las Vegas, where point spreads also originate. Do you pay attention at all? Do you bring that up to your players when you might be an underdog in a game?
Well, I'll tell you what, living here, just with the friendships that you have, you know, people are going to, you know, they're going to tease you and jab you a little bit either way, you know. So, yeah, you kind of know what it is. You don't pay a lot of attention to it. But now, if you get something that's really egregious, you're a big-time underdog, go ahead and use it. That's easy, you know. But, you know, if you're looking at something, you know, marginal or small, you wouldn't really ever bring it up. But, I mean, it's Las Vegas, right? I mean, it's the only town where you can win a game and lose it, lose a game and win it, right? So, no, it's kind of funny. It's kind of, you know, part of the nature of it, you know. So, you know it. And, again, if it's one of those deals where you walk in and you're a big-time underdog, talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Use it to your advantage if you have to.
So it's been a while since I've been in the locker room, fellas, and I want to ask you, Coach, do you actually have a bulletin board in the locker room? Because you hear about that. Yeah. Bulletin board material. I mean, is there actually a bulletin board in the locker room?
There's a bulletin board at our facility in the hallway. You
okay.
Know, we have a wall of shame, and it's all the mistakes that college players make.
Okay.
They stay off that and make sure there's never a rebel on it. And then on the other side, bulletin board. Now, most teams, if you're smart, you know, we talk to our guys all that. Don't ever give the other team anything they can do. And, you know, normally nobody does, but every once in a while you get a knucklehead out there that, you know, goes ahead and says something, a little loose-lipped about something, and if they do it, you'll use it, absolutely.
So there is a bulletin board.
There's a bulletin board. There's a couple.
You thought those were obsolete, huh?
Well, yeah, I didn't think they used them. There's a bulletin board.
Well, we had a big issue with that the other day, too, because our director of football ops is getting ready to hand out, you know, some of the itineraries, and the graduate assistants needed some of the thumbtacks to put up some of the, you know, the call sheets to play for the day. So there's a big argument about people stealing thumbtacks. So, yeah, there's a bulletin board.
All right, so final thing here as we wrap up, your final message to the fans for this year, for Thursday night coming up against Jackson State, and beyond that, obviously, for the season. What would you like to tell
us? We need the community out there. You know, I mean, people are excited. We'll show your excitement by showing up to the game. I mean, it'll help us in recruiting. It'll help our players that are out there on the field feeling energetic. And college football is a special, special thing. We need to create that atmosphere here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's the best. I mean, coming up, so your game is going to be on Thursday. And then we talked to you earlier today. Like, you can't wait just to sit back and watch games on Saturday, right, on TV.
Ready to go.
So why not here in town go and check out the opener against Jackson State on Thursday night? You got to get out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great stuff tonight, Coach.
Thanks. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks
so
much
for
the time here on your show.
Yeah,
thank you.
Good luck Thursday and also for the rest of the season.
Appreciate you guys. It'll be fun getting out here every week.
Yep. Always love talking to Coach Tony Sanchez. Want to thank him. Want to thank Born and Raised, obviously, the official home of the Rebels on the road. When Rebel football is on the road, Born and Raised is the best place to watch and enjoy their award-winning menu and drink special. Now with two locations on Warm Springs and also between Buffalo and Durango and St. Rose and Eastern. For Chris Henderson and also Randy Anthony back in the IMG studios, Mike Pritchard and the coach. I'm Mitch Moss. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your evening. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.